like an owl, John. Hoot like an owl. Young'uns Podcast. Previously on the Young'uns Podcast. The Young'uns Podcast is capable of being serious now and again, you know. You thought the world had been shocked when Derek O'Cora claimed to talk to Michael Jackson. David Eagle claims to be speaking this week to Mike Waterson.
I'm going to do this entire half an hour and I am big pentameter. You will like it. No, you will not have jelly and ice cream.
I have wrestled Michael. On like one occasion I remember punching him. Another occasion I remember wrestling him to the ground. I bent him over my knee and stroked his chin and said, now be a good boy. Just kissing Michael goodbye. That's what we always sign off with. He might as well now the cat's out the bag. Welcome to the Young'uns Podcast. You join me on day 5 of my juice-only detox. I've not had solids for 5 days. So a warning, this week's Young'uns Podcast may be even stranger than usual. And that's saying something. I'm feeling a little bit delirious. I'm not the only person delirious, though, as this week's Young'uns Podcast will demonstrate. We've got a couple of clips of Mr. Sean Cooney going off on some rather tangential flights of whimsy regarding animals. And Michael Hughes has got a bit of sunstroke as well. So he's feeling a little bit delirious. But I'm not just delirious because of the effects of this 7-day juice-only detox. Also, I'm feeling giddy because this week's special guest on the podcast is Horizon winner 2012 of the BBC Folk Awards, Lucy Ward. We'll be speaking to her ahead of the release of her second album, Single Flame. We've got a couple of tracks from the forthcoming album, which is coming out this month, and we're going to have a brilliant interview with her too. Sam Pert from the Hut People returns to the final juice a minute, and also will be helping me as I go into the last 2 days of my juice only no solids detox. Sam Pert from the Hut People, well and truly part of the No Solids crew. See what I did there? It's juicy, it's Lucy, it's the 123rd Young'uns Podcast. Ah, let's massage my ego. I think I deserved it. 5 days of no solid food. So I'm going to reward myself by listening to myself sing. This is the Young'uns singing Roll the Woodpile Down live at a gig. I can't remember which gig it is, for goodness sake. I'm feeling a bit out of it, so I can't remember. But here it is, Roll the Woodpile Down. We'll get started with this.
Way down south where the cocks do crow, way down in Florida, the girls all dance to the old banjo.
Rangers of mind on the Georgia line.
the wood pile down, the young'uns. Taken from a gig, I can't remember which one, because as I say, and there's proof of what I'm just about to say. Feeling a bit delirious today, I'm all over the place. And that's primarily because I have had now 5 days off solid food. And just having vegetable and fruit juices. And we'll be speaking to Sam Pert, the healthy hut person who's into his meditation and juice. And he'll be offering me some encouragement. And I'll be telling you how I've found the last 5 days of no solids. But I am feeling a little bit delirious. But I'm not the only person feeling delirious. Mr. Sean Cooney, he's been a bit delirious of recent, as these couple of clips are about to demonstrate, as he goes off some weird random tangents, sort of flights of whimsy regarding animals. Michael Hughes, as I say, he's got sunstroke, he's been acting a little bit weird, and here's a couple of clips all about that, taken from the Furness Traditions Folk Festival a couple of weeks ago in Cumbria, and before that, a clip from Northwich Folk Club.
I normally go Shuvanavi, but I'm not in this heat, I'm not. I feel as if I'm sort of slightly suffering sunstroke here, and I think you might be a little bit you are a bit. You're wandering around. You asked this stranger, you said, I want some. I asked him if we should go to the market and get some food. And Michael goes, oh, that's a good idea. So he's wandering around the place going, sir, I'm looking for street food. Where can I get street food, sir? Street food, Michael. He's like a homeless man. You don't get used to being homeless. We're going professional in September, so. Are you on the road all next year? So we'll be for half of it. We really can't pay the bills.
I think I need the jug.
Got the jug there, Mr. Kelly.
Would you like some coffee, dear?
No, I'd like some water, thank you.
Yes. You got the jug?
Yeah, I've got the jug.
Excellent. This is a.
Yeah. You got anything to drink it out? Or should I just pour it over you?
Probably best to just drink it out of the jug, because I haven't got anything to put it in.
Well, that was all. Yeah.
We don't share a jug, are we? No, we're close enough to do that, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick to the tap.
Anyway, baby.
That story about the fox and the what was it? The fox and the heron.
You heard that story, Mr. Cooney.
It's one of the fables, isn't it? Where the fox invites the
what's the jug of water?
Yeah.
He's at the guards, right? He's at the folk gig, isn't he? Yeah.
I've no idea what you're talking about. Have I got that? Do you know that?
It's one of these old fables.
Yes, the fox and the, what's the bird with the long beak? The stork. The fox and the stork, yeah, I mean, they're just reminded me.
I didn't get that far, that must be sort of in the middle. I switched off after the better to have bacon and beans and peace and ale and cake and fear, and then I got a bit bored after that. Anyway! I didn't understand it. What you said about bacon and beans, the mouse and the...
Drugs are bad for you.
Take him away, my friend. Take him away. Can you blow those candles?
More animal musings to come from Mr. Sean Cooney as he moves on to talking about pigs. Coming up next, this splendid chat that I had with Lucy Ward. But first, from her new album coming out this month, Single Flame, this is...
We sung the songs of Safka.
I cannot say.
Candles in the rain.
I will not speak. Thank you.
The air is so much thinner now.
Very, very slick.
And all that's left a single flame.
I'm sorry, Lucy, I'm feeling a bit delirious. It's a detox.
Man was held in rapture by fool's golden fame. And from then on ever after, the power fell to who could pay. I cannot say, I will not speak. I cannot say, I will not speak. We're so sung the songs of Zimmerman, how the times were gonna change. But the chimes of freedom, they never rung, and the answer in the wind never came. I cannot say, I will not speak. I cannot wait for them to see a single flame set greed ablaze and send them running to the sea. Night, I am vexed by dreams of freedom and of peace. But each day I wake to that single flame. When shall we be released? I cannot say. I cannot wait for them to see the single flame set greed ablaze. Send them rolling to the
Lucy Ward from her new album Single Flame coming out in August. The first track from that, I Cannot Say, I Will Not Speak. And let's hope that doesn't ring true, because it'd be a bit of a boring phone call if she doesn't. So on the phone, Lucy Ward. Hello, Lucy. All right.
Hey up, how you doing?
I'm very good. I was just, I don't know if we've just talked about this actually before we came off air, but it's just quite a significant day today. My resignation has been handed in. I was given my P45, so this, I sort of join you now, becoming a professional folk musician. So,
Welcome to the ranks.
Thank you very much.
If you ever need to know, you know, how to make a 2-pound bag of pasta go far, like, let me know.
what a great album. I've been listening to it while kind of contemplating what the heck I'm doing with the rest of my life. And it kind of marries well with that kind of deliberation.
Do you think? I was going to say, I think that's probably a bad thing to do.
Really?
I hate the idea that it would have any influence on, you know, your life plans.
Well, I've been listening to it in reverse, and of course I have got the subliminal messages. So, yeah, that's quite interesting. So it's all talk. I'm going to sort of skip away from the album for a little bit and then come back to it. But before we do that, we should probably talk about the song that we've just heard, the first track from Single Flame, I Can't Say, I Will Not Speak. So what is that all about? Where did that come from?
Basically, it's there's a generation of folks, my parents' generation, you know, and quite often the generation of people that frequent folk festivals and clubs, you know, who stood up with their Dylan albums and their Woody Guthrie albums in the 60s singing about change and peace and justice and all that kind of good stuff. And yet 50 years later, although so many things have come on in leaps and bounds, you know, there are still some really key fundamental things that are yet to change. And it's not in any way about like attacking that generation. It's about how do we recapture that belief that we have the power to change our future, and the idea of the single flame, you know, that the lyric from the opening line is, you know, that there's this one flame left and one little hope in the wind, as it were, and we've got to protect it and not give in to our own cynicism, which we're all guilty of doing, myself included.
So
there.
I'm kind of really interested, because the first time I saw you perform, Lucy, it was in a proper sort of festival environment, which kind of gave me, therefore, the impression that you'd just been doing that for absolutely ages. But I think when I first saw you, you hadn't really been doing festivals for too long, but it just seemed as if you'd kind of a natural to that kind of environment, and as if you've kind of just always been there since we've been sort of doing the festivals. But because of that, I haven't really known too much about how you actually got started, like how your relationship with folk music started and how you kind of rose through the ranks. So sort of take us from the sort of the grassroots level of why you got into folk music and that kind of thing.
It all happened very much by accident. My mum and dad avid music lovers and have always had loads of instruments in the house, but they can't play a note. And I didn't know, and they didn't know, that folk music existed beyond Dylan and Joni Mitchell and people like that. And when I was 14, they bought me a guitar, and I learned three songs, and I was quite into, you know, like I did the choir and the drama club at school and all that kind of thing. So my mum and dad thought that I might like to go to an open mic night. And, you know, I love live music anyway, and grew up going to Glastonbury Festival. So I went down, and the people were really nice, and I was really scared. I left my guitar in the car, and when they turned out to be all really lovely, I finally decided to bring in my guitar one day, and I sang three songs every week. I would learn another three songs, and I'd go down to the open mic night and play them. I just got really excited about having a guitar, you know, I'm sure as a lot of teenagers do. It's like a rite of passage, isn't it, being bought an instrument. And it was there that I started to hear folk music. It was very much an open mic, and people used to play all sorts of stuff, but there were a couple of people who would come and sing traditional and accompanied stuff, or perhaps, you know, kind of things that they'd learn off Martin Carthy, and these are all, you know, names I'd never heard of, and I was just hungry to know more. I've always liked lyrics, so I got lent June Tabor's anthology on CD, and the album that Kate Rushbury and Catherine Roberts made together, and it all spiraled out of control from there, really. Now, I've always been quite a geek, and I just went away and I researched and I listened to everything that I could find, and just really got into folk music. And from that club, they used to host guest nights, and the regulars would do the supports, and that's how I got my first ever sort of paid gigs. And it grew really organically from there, I guess, you know, playing at local clubs, starting to go a bit further afield than my own hometown to play. And then when I finished my A-levels, my mum was really ill. She's fine now, but she just got diagnosed with cancer that summer, and I knew that I just didn't want to go to uni. So I took a gap year, and I felt like, to prove to my mum and dad that I didn't intend to waste this gap year, I was going to do everything. So I was carrying on with my folk and started trying to write songs, but I also joined a rock band and did a musical, and, you know, it was all
when you say when you say
on.
You did a musical, you mean you wrote a musical, or?
No, I was part of a musical.
Oh, right, okay.
Put together by, like, some people in Derby that I'd met through the folk club, but we ended up doing it at Her Majesty's Theatre, where they do Phantom in London. It was totally amazing and really great, but that winter, it was the Young Folk Award, and I put in for it and managed to get into the final, and it all went from there. And every year it was, do I go to uni this year? Well, no, music's going all right. Keep going with it, keep going with it. And now I'm 23 and got no plans to go to university, and yeah, it's all great.
The whole Folk Awards thing, I mean, that's, how did you kind of come to terms with that? I mean, where were you when you got the news?
Oh, for what the grown-up ones?
Yeah, the proper, the proper ones, winning the other ones is good enough. That's good that you achieved so much that you got, well, you mean the proper ones?
Well, no, you know what I mean. Yeah, the ones you don't enter yourself into, people pick you for. It was astounding. I got the phone call. I went pro 2 years ago, I think, and I at the time was working part time for my sister and brother in law who run a martial arts academy in Derbyshire.
Oh, it's very multifaceted. Musicals, martial arts, you know.
Yeah, I'm a black belt, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to where you're eventually going to you're going to do this thing where you're going to have a bit of a midlife crisis eventually, and then you're just going to have this big combine. You're going to combine all your different skills, a big musical, Lucy Ward the musical, and the first number you're going to come on stage, it's going to be hi-ya, and you're going to start martial arts and stuff like that. Oh,
that does sound quite frightening. But if it happens, you know, like you'll have to get a royalty or something for foreseeing it in the future.
Oh, no, Lucy, seriously, I want nothing to do with it.
So I was round at their house just doing some emails and working on the computer, and the phone call came through, and I just started screaming, to be honest. It was quite girly, quite stereotypical, going, oh my God, I can't believe it, you know, like fist punching in the air and like and I was no good for work after that. I drove straight away to my mum's, and it was all really exciting. I suppose it was 3 years after I'd been in the Young Folk Awards, and my album had come out that year, my first album, and it was just my friends basically had just all graduated, and it was like I'd waited 3 years and I'd got my folk award. It was that same, you know, justification that what I'd done was the right thing to do, and that people in the industry, as well as the lovely fans and people who have very kindly supported me, thought what I was doing was worthwhile and all right. And it was a really nice feeling.
Because, I mean, the fans have definitely taken you to heart. I mean, that I remember coming on before, so just after you at Shrewsbury Festival, and it was quite an intimidating thing because you came on, and it was when the MC, it's when an MC says to you, Lucy, by the way, don't be offended because there won't be an encore. We haven't got time for encores. So we thought, okay, that's fair enough then. He said, right, so Lucy's going to come off and you're going to come straight on, okay? It was at that moment that you received a standing ovation. Everyone applauded. You came off and went, no time for encores, and sort of walked past us. The MC pulled you back and said, I'm afraid, love, you're going to have to do one, because otherwise I'm not gonna get any rest. And so you broke the no encores taboo, got a standing ovation. And it's one of those things, it's a joy to follow, but at the same time, quite a harrowing experience. But they really have. It's brilliant.
It's been amazing. And actually, that Shrewsbury gig, that moment, probably I would say has been the best moment to date in my career. It was an amazing.
You did seem
experience.
Very surprised. You sort of came on a bit flustered by the whole thing, which is someone who's quite confident.
I actually ended up having two encores. If you remember
look at
that.
You! I love this. And look at you! And then you go, oh, you mean the proper awards? Well, I think you'll find I had two encores, David.
I know you don't. That's why it stuck in my head, because it was just so unbelievable. I'd done something like 7 gigs over the weekend, and as you say, the audience are just lovely, and still now that is the gig where when I meet people at other festivals, they go, I was at your Shrewsbury gig. And I don't know if you remember, I came off stage to you guys and I'm going, I'm so sorry, I've eaten into your time, but he told me to go on again, I'm so sorry, because it's so, as you know, when you play at festivals, you feel a sense of awful guilt if you're eating to other people's time, because things happen. It's just not done. Is it?
Well, no. We're all friends in this game, and it was a brilliant moment. And I think we all enjoy each other's success. I don't think it's
there's
too much rivalry in the whole thing. And we thought that was great, and we thought, well, that's obvious. And I think we can connect with an audience quite well. But there's three of us. There's three of us to do that, you know. And so therefore, you get the interaction between the three, and so it's very easy if you do it right to draw people into the group and that kind of thing, and make people feel connected. When there's just one person, it takes a lot of skill to kind of really kind of be able to connect with an audience and that kind of thing.
It's a difficult tightrope to walk, and you are solely responsible for the audience's enjoyment. I try to be honest with them. If something goes wrong, I tell them about it. We have a laugh, you know, and I think that is what people have connected to.
What about this new album then, which has come out? It sounds like it's quite a different style, but what have you gone for on this album? What did you want to... achieve? What was your mission statement? what was it? That is a very big question,
but it's a very loaded question. Yeah. My first record, you know, I was very pleased with how it sounded, and you know, completely overwhelmed by the reception that it had. Especially because I hadn't recorded anything before then, and it was a completely new experience. Where I think going into the studio to record Single Flame this time round, I had an idea of how I wanted it to sound. And, you know, I'd spent 18 months specifically trying to write songs for this album in the hope that they would hang together, and all that stuff, you know, you want your album to be decent, or you hope it is, and you work towards that. And I specifically remember ringing Stu, because you guys worked with Stu, didn't you, on your album?
Excellent. Did he spend the first day of your recording making you stamp your feet and recording different stamps?
No, we didn't do stamps, but yeah, you know, I think Stu, he likes to work outside the box, and that makes it fun. And I remember ringing him up, and I was sat at the top of my stairs in the house, and I just said to him, look, I want to make this album, and I want it to have a big sound, still keeping the songs at the heart of it, but, you know, I've got all these plans for what I want to do with strings and drums, and A, are you up for it? And B, you know, do you have the time? I don't want to knock it out in a week, because that's all we've got time for. I think because I'm a solo artist, and for any solo artist, you know, bands have had an opportunity to arrange their material before. Solo artists, sometimes albums are a chance to do things you don't have enough arms to play, you know, and and stuff. And so I really wanted to take time, and thankfully he was really up for that. So we spent a lot of time, you know, I took in albums worth of other people's music, saying, you know, I like the sound of the guitar in that, and the vocal sound in that's really cool. And what do you think to the way they've recorded those drums? And it took us 7 months all in all to lay the album down. Yeah, it's certainly a progression from the first record, bigger arrangement, but I think that it's kept the heart of the song being the centre. And I know that's something that you guys, as the young'uns, must feel as well. Or that's how I feel when I listen to your album and watch you play live. You know,
yeah, definitely. And I think
it's about the song.
You're writing more songs now. Is that true, Zen?
I think it still takes me ages to write songs. I don't know what you guys are like, but I'll write something and then I'll just put it in a drawer for months and it'll never get finished, and something else will get started and that won't get finished. I certainly felt, as we were approaching the time to go into the studio, like, oh God, I don't think I've got enough. And really had to kick myself into gear, because I'm not blessed with being prolific and writing a song a week. I really have to craft.
Where do the songs come from then? Where do the ideas for songs come from? Are they happening just with an idea that just starts maybe on a train or something? You hear something, you read something in a book. Is there like a theme of how the songs come to you?
Yeah. Well, I think the theme is that there is no theme. I cannot say, I will not speak. That sort of felt like at the time it came out of nowhere. But I guess really it comes out of a lot of the people that I interact with are people of that generation. And I am forever being told, you know, you're a young person, what are you singing protest songs for? And I suppose, you know, in some way it was kind of an answer to that. For the Dead Men was influenced and inspired by watching the marches on London, the No Cuts marches, the student marches. But then there are other things which really are just flights of fantasy, you know. There is no key. I like to try and remain open to things, and I carry a notebook around with me. So if I hear something or think of something, that I've got it there for future reference.
And are they just generally lines of text, or are these just very kind of scribbled, sketchy ideas?
Yeah, I mean, a real mixture. Sometimes it'll just be, you know, I'm bored sitting around and it's a drawing.
Do you forget the what you've sort of written, and you sort of maybe wake up in the middle of the night, or you've written something, maybe drunk or something, and then you look at it and you go, what the bloody hell? Kumquats, couch, you know, small hill, sort of random words.
Kumquats, yeah.
Well, it must have made sense at the time, so you start going, kumquats, small hill, sitting on a... Oh, no, this isn't working.
No, I think you're right. There are things that I've written and I think, you know, I'll record it on my phone or whatever, mm-hmm. or write it in the book. And in my head, they're brilliant, like, internal rhymes, and it makes loads of sense. And then I'll come back to it, and it won't have rhymed at all. And I'll wonder how on earth I thought that. And I wish I could blame alcohol, but when I'm singing or I've got a gig, you know, in recent times, I don't drink. So, you know, it's very rare that I am writing under the influence of anything. So I have to worry that it's my own brain that takes me there, you know?
Glastonbury, you talked about going to Glastonbury when you were younger and your impressions of it then and it being this festival that was really accommodating and things like that. But this year, you had the honour of performing at Glastonbury. So again,
It was just completely unbelievable. Always said, you know, I've written copious blogs about it. Glastonbury is just an incredible place. And since music or my own music became part of my day-to-day life, it's certainly been a sort of a dream and a wish and a will to play there one day. And actually, that last year, when the tickets were released for this summer's festival, I missed out on tickets and I was completely heartbroken. I honestly, no word of a lie, just sat and cried all day, didn't answer the phone. You know, that's how passionately I feel about that festival and my connection to it. And when I'd sort of resigned myself to the fact that I wasn't going to go, you know, it was just, you know, okay, let it go, Luce, let it go. There's always next year, you know, you've had plenty of Glastonbury's in your lifetime. Then I decided, you know, I can't let it go. And emailed somebody that I thought might have a contact and for playing. And that very quickly was thwarted. And I thought, well, you know, I've tried. And then all of a sudden, there was this contact out of the blue, a promoter that I was speaking to, and I just happened to mention, you know, like the Glastonbury in one of our conversations, and he saw I might have someone that I could talk to. And months passed, and the resales for tickets came and went, and I still, you know, no joy as a punter. And I just got a phone call saying, Lucy, you know, do you want to play the acoustic stage? And I nearly fell over. It was just completely unbelievable.
And that's course, you with your martial arts training as well. And you've probably learnt all about balance. So for you to fall over.
Exactly. For me to fall over, it was unbelievable. And from such a, you know, dizzy height as well, it was painful. But it was such an incredible experience. I think, you know, because of my own personal connection with how I feel about the festival, it added to all that stuff, you know, on top of the fact that playing Glastonbury is amazing anyway. Mm. And it was just great. And the crew were all so unbelievably nice. And backstage, they had an Alice in Wonderland theme. So everyone had like their own dressing room, like a marquee within the marquee, which was crazy. And it was like covered in playing cards and little tiny like figurines of mushrooms and rabbits, and everything was part of this theme, and everyone had their own fridge with their own rider in it, you know, like backstage at a festival. It was unbelievable. And thankfully it was a very respectable turnout for an afternoon gig at Glastonbury. Mm. I couldn't have asked for more, and I came off shaken, to be honest. It sounds like I'm exaggerating, but it was just such a wonderful experience that I'd waited for a long time to do. And yeah, it was awesome.
The album, Lucy, Single Flame, it's out. When is it out? August, isn't it? So it's out this month.
Yeah, the 19th of August it comes out.
I think we should play one more song from it to whet people's appetites. And they're also as well, you've been giving little sort of album samplers and that kind of thing on Facebook and Twitter. And so people can hear little clips from the album. But there's a chance to hear another song in its entirety. Now, before we, while we say goodbye to you, Lucy, what song would you like us to play?
Could you play The Last Pirouette for me, please?
I could do that, yeah. You're not going to hear it. As soon as we go, I'm saving the phone bill. I'm cutting you off.
Sure, I've got a few hundred copies of the CD.
Exactly, you can listen to it yourself.
I'll listen to it.
So talk to us about The Last Pirouette then.
It's based on a poem that my dad wrote in the mid-1980s, and I just happened to find it in a drawer and worked it up and you know, changed it a bit and turned it into a song. And essentially, happy song. It's about the end of the world. just to tell people now, there are happy songs on this album. It's just, you know, the podcast has bypassed them. but yeah, it, seeing as we've been talking about, you know, this and all these big arrangements and stuff, it seems like the right song for you to play.
Excellent. Don't worry, I think your enthusiasm and joie de vivre has sort of just come across anyway in the interview, so I wouldn't worry about that. Excellent. LucyWardSings.com for the website. And people can keep up to date with all things Lucy Ward. I hope that we're going to be seeing you over the next few months. Now that we're professional, hopefully our paths will cross a little bit more.
I'm sure they will. I look forward to it.
Excellent.
Ladies and gents, come take your seats. The overture has begun. The stage is set, the cast complete. There's nothing left to be done. The prima ballerina and her painted face, makeup like concrete is set. She bows to the crowd with a practiced grace, then she dances. She dances the last pirouette. Children of love with the sun in their eyes lie dead in the strawberry fields, and the spirit flown to the faraway sky, and the future has nothing to yield. The prima ballerina and her painted face, makeup like concrete is set. She bows to the crowd with a practiced grace, then she dances. Is the last pirouette. The stage revolves as the orchestra plays. The angels of war are in flight, but the show must go on in its usual way, though the wings can be heard in the night. The last
risk of sounding like Tony Blackburn, this is the exciting new sound of Lucy Ward. Single Flame, the album coming out this month, 19th of August. Album samplers available and pre-orders on LucyWardSings.com.
Ladies and gents, come take your seats. The final act has begun. The stage is set, the cast is complete. There's nothing left to be done.
Well, steady on, Lucy. Good song, but there's plenty to be done, my friend. We've got an interview with Sam Pert to come yet, who's going to talk about my detox. And before that, Sean Cooney, who's going to talk about pigs. So it's not quite true, but excellent album. Last Pirouette, that song's called, from Single Flame. 19th of August, that's coming out. Right, who needs solid food when you've got quality music like that? Right, here's Sean Cooney to talk a load of nonsense about pigs And this clip comes from, we've just spoken to the organisers of Shrewsbury Festival, and Alan and Sandra, who said, oh, we'll have to have you back next year. So we just agreed that we were going to do Shrewsbury Festival. And then Mr. Cooney, while they're there in the audience, goes on this massive bloody rant about pigs, for goodness sake. So here we go then, another unsettling glimpse into the mind of Sean Cooney. This is taken from a Meet the Young'uns event at, I think it might have been, the Furness Traditions Festival in Cumbria.
Oh, it's such great fun singing that one, because you, little did you realise that all the way through that song, about 100 cows went whizzing past the window. I don't know what's happening in that field. They've been herded away. And, yeah, literally about 100. Did you see him, Michael?
Yeah, I did you see him, David?
No. I think it was the low frequencies. I was going, moo. Maybe they thought I was a mooing cow, and they were all.
There was some like sprightly ones at the front, and then a couple of kind of fat ones at the back. Yeah, that was great.
Excellent. Well, we might come back.
Excellent.
We'll keep singing till the cows come home, I think.
Yeah. It didn't really happen. I just made that up so we could do that punch.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why the cows were leaving. They heard it was meat to the young'un, wasn't it? Oh no.
Well, that might have been horse.
Maybe a dyslexic cow. That could have been horse.
Aren't cows supposed to be really clever? Or is that pigs?
Pigs are meant to be really clever.
Is that when pigs are... Yeah, they get...
Brilliant! Yeah!
No, aren't pigs supposed to be... You're supposed right. to not feed them very well because... Oh no, if you don't feed them much, then they get all depressed and they realise they're a pig. No, is there some trouble?
What?
Is there some trouble? Hear me out,
Tim. Help you out. I think everyone should help him out. Help him out, Howden.
I remember someone telling me that if pigs...
Michael, hurry up and tune that guitar, for God's sake. I'm quite enjoying this. He's talking about pigs here.
Can you turn my microphone up? And it's
what's this theory? This conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah, must be voice already. No, I remember someone telling me that if a pig is unoccupied for a large amount of time, it gets depressed because it realises it's a pig and it doesn't have a very good life, so you've got to keep it busy because they are very intelligent animals, apparently. But did I hear somewhere that there was a drug that you give the pigs so they think they're something else? Am I making this up?
It's the weirdest dream that you've had. Have we got any pig experts in?
What sort of drugs are you?
I don't know, Alan, but you don't want any of them. Yeah. We were going to be invited back to Shrewsbury until he started talking about pigs.
I thought you'd gone, that's why I did all the pigs.
Yeah, we were going, hey there, wait until the next year in Shrewsbury, that'll be a masterpiece. That'll be a whole concept gig around this.
Anyway, so that first song was we've been singing for lots of years now. It was Hard Times, and this next one is
Pigs on the
Town. Eh? Oh yes, this is one of our later ones. It's called Love in a Northern Town, and it's about my nana. It's about how my nana met my granddad. It's an incredible woman, my nana. She's 80 now. We're not sure how she's survived so long, living the life she has, because she's never ran, she's never swam, she's never played any sport, and she lives on this diet of pies, pasties and lemonade, and has smoked for most of her life. But she's fantastic. She's got all her marbles, and she's still completely with it. Incredible. She does come out with some strange things.
She comes out with some strange things, yeah. She sits you on your knee, didn't she? She's told you this weird story about pigs, Sean. She's still got all the marbles. Coming from you, Sean, that's hardly an accolade, is it? So it's Meet the Young'uns then. I think you've met quite an odd side of Mr. Cooney today, but is anyone... I'm not sure what how you want to play it.
Hello, Mr. Pertz.
Hello, nice to see you.
Excellent. My goodness, can you see me? Oh, I wish I'd wore something more appropriate. I knew you were spying on me all this time. I knew there was something going on. My goodness. Well, if you have been spying on me, Sam, you'll be aware that it is day 5 of my detox, and it's going pretty well. And it's also day five of using my masticating juicer, my friend. So,
Excellent.
Such a lot to talk about. So, yeah, the detox all began. It began on the Friday, and it didn't. It started off a little bit odd because. I couldn't eat. I've not been having all the juices, to be honest. Recommended on the program. I've not had anywhere near the amount because I just can't. Yeah. Well, firstly, there's so much washing to do once you've started doing it. If you had them all, but also it's just I don't really feel I need them. But I got to the gig. We were playing in Norwich Folk Club in Cheshire on Friday, and we got there. Yeah. This is the first day of the detox. We got there and they'd cooked a bloody meal for us. And obviously I couldn't have it. And then my flatmate as well has been teasing me by obviously he's been just eating normally. He's been cooking like pastas and that kind of thing. And but yes, I've stayed strong. And I've also noticed a lot of the smells kind of permeating around when I'm sort of walking outside. When I was having a walk on Sunday, you could just smell Sunday roasts. And I was my God. But I stayed strong throughout that. Had a mental lapse on the night of day three, I think. The night of day three, where I suddenly, I'd had a juice and I felt full of energy. And at that point, maybe I should have gone to bed. I should have gone to bed. It was the night. But instead, I thought I'll listen to some music. And I had a bit of like exercise and stuff. Not a good idea. Half an hour later, started feeling hungry. I was like, come on. I had, at one point, Sam, I had an almond in my hand. I had an almond in my hand, and I put it to my mouth. I put it to my teeth, and then I sort of kept it there for a bit, and then I withdrew the almond. I mean, if you're wondering, it's not because I'm tempted by almonds, it's just that was the thing that was to hand. I resisted it. Day four, absolutely fine. That was my birthday, and thank you for the birthday wishes, Sam. Thank you for those. I'm here on day five. I think, I know who I'm calling, thank you very much. The voice on the phone has just decided to tell me I'm calling Sam Pert Mobile. Maybe it's like doing a service. Maybe it's thinking I didn't properly introduce you or something like that, and the phone's just announcing it for you. I'll do this bloody podcast for you, David. Talking about your bloody detox, no one's interested. There you. The voice synthesizer could do it better than this.
I'm very impressed.
And the masticating juicer is working absolutely fine. It makes a really pleasurable sound when it chews the stuff. Very nice. So no real negative side effects as such, as I'm not having anywhere near the amount of juices. No real negative side effects. Feeling pretty good. I'm planning to sort of slowly introduce solids back into the diet as time goes on.
The only side effects you'd find were probably the positive ones, you know. The negative side effects are probably the ones you've explained, where you've just got to stay strong and stay solid, you know. And it's like, but it's really good for you to do. It's good for people to do that because often we don't challenge ourselves with things like this, and we don't realise how strong we can be, you know.
Yeah.
Like you've done, and then you've withheld solids, even when someone's cooked you a meal. It shows you can do it, you know.
Okay then, Sam. Well, now, my friend, it's time for the final on-the-phone juicer minute. The next time we shall convene will be at Warwick Folk Festival, where it'll be I'll have finished my detox by then, and we shall have a couple of songs, a couple of tunes, I think, from yourself and Gary at Warwick Folk Festival, so that'll be good.
Yeah, we look forward to that.
Yeah, so, but before then, of course, we have the all-important business of juicer minutes to do. So I shall let you open this, my friend. This is this give it all you've got, my friend, for the final time. Welcome to Juicer Minutes.
Okay, so welcome to Juicer Minutes, everybody. So this week, the juice I've got for you, we'll go for a nice sort of like a fresh, vibrant juice this week. And you're gonna need for this, and you're gonna have one lime. And then you can have two kiwi fruits, and then you're going to have two apples and a pear, and then you're going to have parsnip and some carrots in there. So this is like quite a lot of stuff, but what you find with this juice is by adding the kiwi fruit, this gives it a really, really lovely, vibrant taste to the juice. It's fantastic, and a lovely green colour as well. Okay, so what you want to do is, to begin with, when you're juicing this, you want to put one apple in the juicer and get an apple in there as well. I always add apple to just about every juice. So So put an apple in first, and then put your kiwi fruits on top of that, put your lime on top of that, and juice all of it into your juicer. And then you're going to add your carrots in there towards the end just to clean your juicer out. And I reckon that by the time you finish juicing all of that, you'll probably have a nice big full glass full. And then obviously drops of ice cubes in at the end, and it'll give you a lovely cool juice to enjoy it. So that's my juice for this week.
Brilliant. Well, Sam, we'll speak to you next week, where listeners will be able to enjoy the conversation without the intermittent now and again. I think you forgot to turn off your surveillance equipment when you've been spying on me, and I think that's interfering with the phone a little bit. So what we'll do is we'll come back to you next week. A couple of songs, a couple of tunes from the... Unless you are going to sing, who knows? You never know what might happen. A couple of tunes from the Hot People, and more from Sam and Gary, and we'll actually get to talk about the your group and what you actually do musically, you know, which is probably in some ways what you're more known for. So that's what we'll do next week. Great to speak to you, sir. We'll speak to you next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Well, next week, because I can heartily recommend it, given that we've got live Hut People from Warwick Folk Festival, some brilliant clips from Warwick Folk Festival 2, and maybe even the return of the Young'uns in the Mix and Folk in Focus. We couldn't squeeze that in this week. Trust me, I'm an expert when it comes to squeezing. I've been doing a lot of that this week with my Juice Only Detox. Thank you for listening, my friends. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, all of that jazz, or the website, the mailing list. Come and see us at a gig near you, or even not near you, for goodness sake. Travel. We're going to say it's worth it. You can hear Sean Cooney talking about pigs. We're at Camden next week at the Green Note, which is a vegetarian cafe. By that point, I'll have finished my detox, so I'm looking forward to some lovely, good, solid vegetarian food. We're also at Broadstairs Folk Festival, and we've got a session on BBC Radio 3 as well. We might have some clips from that on the podcast, and you can listen to that, obviously, on the BBC iPlayer. So just follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and go on the website, and join our mailing list, for goodness sake. I'm sorry, I know I'm advertising, I know I'm doing a lot of promoting, but I'm a professional folk singer now, for goodness sake. I've got to earn my living somehow. Oh, that reminds me, if anyone's got any odd jobs that they need doing, then please let me know. I'm happy to, like, clean windows and, you know, wash your car out and that kind of thing. I might even sell me body, if you're lucky. Well, that's a good body to sell, my friends. It's a clean machine, you know? It's been through a juice detox. Thank you to Lucy Ward for a brilliant interview. Thank you, as ever, to Sam Pertz. And thank you to you for listening. Till next week, stay safe. Always wear sunscreen. Keep rehydrated, my friends. Goodbye.
Help me, Paula.